Good morning, and welcome to our continuing series on the early chapters of Acts. We're doing Acts 4 and part of Acts 5 today. Ladies and gentlemen, how about these early chapters of Acts? We have Jesus ascending into heaven. We have the Holy Spirit comes at Pentecost, and there's violent winds, and there's tongues of fire, and there is a group of the disciples that are filled with the Holy Spirit, and they speak in languages they've never learned before. We have a crowd that's amazed and perplexed. And then Peter preaches, filled with the Holy Spirit, and he preaches, you put Jesus to death. God has raised him. He's Lord and Messiah. And you need to repent and be baptized. And 3,000 people believe and are baptized. And then we read of the early believers. We read of them desiring the apostles' teaching, being filled with awe. We read of them breaking bread publicly and in their homes. We read of them praising God and even selling property and possessions so that they might care for those in this new community. And as Murray brought to us beautifully last week, we had in chapter 3 the healing of the lame beggar. And so Peter and John get this opportunity to preach again. And this time, 5,000 men believe. Today, we pick up in chapter 4 and 5 where the temple police and the Sadducees call Peter and John to account for what they're doing. And they get another God-given opportunity to preach. And they show great courage. And they're told to stop speaking in the name of Jesus. And they leave that directive and go straight to the new church. And they pray their hearts out that they might have boldness to share this amazing message. And then in Acts chapter 5, we have now the apostles performing signs and wonders and healings and dealing with spirits, even to the point that people who walked in the shadow of Peter were healed. And of course, the religious leaders, the authorities, again now call the apostles and jail them. And an angel releases them at night and says, go and preach again. Go tell this amazing story. But of course, folks, this is historical, right? It's once off. It's unrepeatable. Well, yes, it is. And Murray put this in beautiful balance for us last week. But there are principles and there are practices that are repeatable today in my life, in your life, and in Bedford Community Church. So let's go to these scriptures. Let's look at the context. Let's make some observations. Let's look for the meaning and then explore what's applicable to us today from these amazing times. So would you please, if you have your Bible or if you've got a Bible app on your phone, could you please go to Acts chapter 4? It starts with the background, of course, is there's been the healing of the lame beggar by Peter and John, and they're preaching, and the priests and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees come and arrest them. And just to put you in the picture, the captain of the temple guard is the high priest's right-hand man, has an oversight of the good order of the temple. And believe me, they did not think what was happening was the good order of the temple. They thought they dealt with this person, Jesus. They put him to death. And now we have this uprising, this group of enthusiastic people teaching that Jesus is resurrected and that he's healing people. And then there's just this little verse in little verse 4 that says, and 5,000 men believed. Well, I don't know, shall we say 4,500 women as well? amazing things are happening. And so Peter and John are put in jail. And the next day, Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, all part of the rulers and elders of the people. This is sounding very much like the same group that condemned Jesus. So they front Peter and John, and they say to them, by what power and what name did you do this? Well, some clever person has called that a divine appointment. That is something which the Spirit of God has arranged. I mean, what a question. So Peter gets to preach again, and he preaches to the very group of people who put Jesus to death. You crucified the Christ. You rejected him, and God has raised him. And then in verse 12, they say, salvation is found in no one else, for there's no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. You see, in the Jewish mind, victory, freedom, justice, these would be the advent of the Messiah. But Peter wants them to see that the Messiah is focusing on salvation, that their ultimate need is salvation, delivery from sin's power and penalty. And so with this great boldness, Peter being filled with the Holy Spirit, these leaders recognize the courage, they recognize the boldness, and they recognize that Peter and John are unschooled and ordinary. And they recognize that they've been with Jesus. But they're stuck because of the reality of the miracle. It's right in their face. And so what they do is they order them to stop. So after a second meeting, they come back and they say, then they called him, this is verse 18, then they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him? You be the judge. As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we've seen and heard. And they went back, Peter and John went back to the new church, to the gathering of believers, apostles. And when they heard this, we read in verse 24, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. And this is the latter part of the prayer that they prayed. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Well, in chapter 5, we start to see a number of these things being fulfilled that they prayed for. We're cutting in at, at verse 12. And I'm going to read to you from verses 12 to 16. You might like to follow. It's headed, "The Apostles Heal Many." The apostles performed many signs and wonders among the people, and all the believers used to meet together in Solomon's colonnade. So this is like a portico, a public area in the temple. And no one else dared join them, even though they were highly regarded by the people. So what's happening is alarming to some and appealing and drawing to others. Nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. As a result, people brought the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and mats so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by. Crowds gathered also from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those tormented by impure spirits, and all of them were healed. Again, amazing demonstration of God's power and the preaching of this new message. And of course, the authorities are not happy. So the high priests and all his associates, that is the Sadducees, including the Sadducees, they are filled with jealousy, we read in verse 17. And they take these apostles and they jail them. And at night, while they're in jail and they're going to be spoken to the next day, an angel of the Lord opens the doors and says, go stand in the temple courts and tell the people all about the new life, this new life. So they're at it again. And of course, the Sanhedrin, this full assembly, they come in the morning, come and get these guys out of jail. Well, of course, they're not there. And then somebody comes and says, they're out preaching again. And so they drag them in again and they say, we gave you strict instructions not to be preaching, not to be speaking in the name of Jesus. And their response was, we must obey God rather than human beings. So Peter and the others preached again, and again they're preaching to this same group of people who had Jesus crucified. You killed Jesus, and God has raised him from the dead and has exalted him. And they are furious, and they want to kill him. And one of the members of the Sanhedrin, Gamaliel, who is a Pharisee, he says to them, look, we have had these sort of rebels come before, get a group of followers, and fade out. So this is what I recommend. I'm reading from verse 38. Therefore, in the present case, I advise you, leave these men alone. Let them go, for if their purpose or activity is of human origin, it will fail. But if it's from God, you will not be able to stop these men. You will only find yourselves fighting against God. Well, they certainly got that right. And the apostles were flogged. They were told they may not speak. They cannot speak about Jesus. And we read in verse 41 and 42, the last two verses in the chapter, the apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing because they'd been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for his name. Day after day in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Messiah. So they were the things that were happening in Acts, that we read of in Acts 4 and 5. So what's the application to you and I today, to our church and Bedford community? Well, there's four things that I'd like us to pick up. And these are the four. There's more than four, but these are the four that we can do with today. We want to explore the courage and the boldness to speak that clearly the Holy Spirit gave. And there's an interesting observation here that you have a combination of the demonstration of love and care, in this case healings and signs and wonders, and words. And this is a pattern which is a lovely combination of works and words, or if you like, a combination of the great commandment, which is to love your neighbor as yourself, and the great commission, which is to go and preach the gospel. So we see a courage and a boldness in that container, demonstrations and boldness to speak. And of course, all of the boldness comes from being filled with the Holy Spirit. So we know Peter and John and the apostles were filled. And I'm so glad verse 4:31 says, and all the believers. So we don't get caught up with, well, of course you'd expect Peter and John and the apostles to be filled. This is for us. And then we want to look at this beautiful connection, which is about the work of the Holy Spirit, arranging divine appointments. The Spirit opens up and sets up things today for ordinary people just like you and me. The classic example from today's scripture is in chapter 4, verse 7, where the religious leaders say to Peter and John, in whose name and in what power? Wow, that has got to be the best question to ask a local preacher. And Peter goes for it. And God's still using divine appointments today. And then, of course, prayer. The church prays and prays for boldness. And we very much need to be a people of prayer. So these are the four things we'd like to pick up and explore today. So let me get back to... Okay. So let's take up the first one. Courage, boldness to speak. An observation that we have in our church is that that's probably an issue for us. At least we're not seeing people come to Jesus. We have not seen growth in our church through new birth. Let me personally give you my perspective on that in my life. It occurred to me a little while ago that I've become quite reticent about my faith. It sort of crept up over the years, because I would say over the years, my relationship with God has deepened. So internally, I'm walking, endeavoring to live in the kingdom. But externally, there's not much being said about it. So the best picture I've got is when Jesus gave an example of being the light of the world, and he said that our light can be under the table. So you might remember in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on the stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. So that's the picture that I feel describes me. The lamp has been, as it were, under instead of on the lampstand. And in one sense, this is something which is a group of elders that we've aligned with, that we're not modeling to the church, being engaged with non-Christian people, building relationships, sharing our faith, and realize that we need to rediscover this. We need to be retrained. And you will know that we've committed to, with your agreement, a 2-year program in this church called Evangelism Shift. And I draw great encouragement from Peter. The focus of our story today from the Bible is that the same Peter that preached with such boldness was the same Peter that not long before would not stand up for his faith with a teenage girl and say, I'm one of Jesus' disciples. That encourages me so much. That we can get our lamp back on the lampstand. And I love what Peter wrote in his letter when he said, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. We're not going to go out there and buttonhole people. What Evangelism Shift is teaching the group of leaders who are doing it for the first year, and then we bring the rest of the church in, is it's teaching us to recognize we are sent. Wherever we go, we represent God. And there's a lovely balance between this demonstration and be prepared to speak. So the demonstration that we're working on is to build genuine relationships with not yet Christian people and to be prepared to speak, to allow the Spirit to open up opportunities for us, to be engaged in conversation, not little preachy things, but asking questions and exploring and being willing to share ourselves. And you know, a very encouraging thing in relation to this boldness to speak came out of a Zoom meeting which we had recently with our Evangelism Shift team, the group that's doing it. And there was a couple of people who'd had real opportunities to speak boldly. They felt they were really led by the Spirit. It was lined up by the Spirit. And the people were listening, just like they were in Acts 4 and 5. Then, of course, you have to link all of that with our next application point, which is being filled with the Spirit. We know that Peter and John, the apostles, were filled with the Spirit, and they had boldness. But what does that mean? What does that mean for you and I today? Well, look, I don't think this is a massively complex thing, and I'm sure it's not just for the Peters and Johns of this world. It is really a realization, a recognition. It's about making a request. It's about asking, Lord, today with my workmates or with my friends that I've asked out for a meal, would you just fill me with your Spirit, and I'll just relax in that you'll open up opportunities for me. So my picture is it's a bit like windsurfing, that you've got to get the wind in the sail before you experience that exhilaration and the power of gliding across the water. There's absolutely no point standing there going, trying to fill the sail. I think that's the closest picture I can see of we trust the Spirit. We ask for guidance to get the sail in the right at the right angle, and we allow the Spirit to fill us. That seems to be what was happening with those early disciples, and it's clearly God's design for us today. So for us today, I think a verse like Galatians 5:25, keep in step with the Spirit. This is his work. And one of the things in Evangelism Shift is we keep being encouraged, don't feel you've got to do this. God will open the opportunities. And again, at this Zoom meeting, we had people, and not all of us, it wasn't me, talking about how the Spirit had just opened up such wonderful opportunities. Only the Spirit of God could have got this person to ring me and want to have a further conversation. So these things can and will be happening to us. Then that links beautifully with the whole concept of divine appointment. And this is the work of the Spirit. The Spirit of God can arrange people, comments, questions, which we couldn't have arranged no matter how clever we are. And we love to call them divine appointments because it's the Spirit linking us to people that he's already been working in. We talked about that classic one when the religious leaders say, tell us the name and the power that you're doing this. And again, in this Zoom meeting, we had people actually stating that they felt it was completely engineered and designed by the Holy Spirit. And these things are fresh and happening today, and they can happen in our lives. And then finally, of course, prayer, covered in prayer. Well, Evangelism Shift really encourages us to pray. And one of the commitments that we've all made is that we'll be praying for half a dozen not yet Christian friends. And it's about building a relationship with these people, truly loving them and trusting the Spirit for opportunities to share. Now, that's the point that I'm at, is that I haven't had any real opportunities for any divine appointments yet, but I'm working at building relationships, the demonstration of love and interest in some not yet Christian people, and feeling very confident that those, the leading of the Spirit will flow. And again, a number of people people like me who are still in the building relationship stage were saying, do you know, one of the great things is it's praying for these people. And we have an accountability partner who also prays for our not yet Christian friends. So folks, these are things which I think we can draw from the scripture today. And I'd like to actually stop now, and I would like to have a reflection time. And the reflection time, I will invite you, please, to ask yourself a question and then have a conversation with God. So we have these four areas that we've explored. And I wanted to just stop speaking and ask, would you explore this question? What's the Holy Spirit gently spoken to your heart about today from Acts 4 and 5? And then would you follow that with a prayer? In prayer, dialogue with God as to how you will further explore his prompting this week and into the future. So if the Spirit of God has spoken to us today from those amazing chapters of Acts, how do we take it forward? Well, that's a contract that I can only do for me. I'd like to give you some time now to do some contracting if you're comfortable to do that. I will stop, and in another 2.5 minutes, I'll close. Thank you. Thank you for that time. And let's conclude. Could we dare to dream that God wants to do a new work amongst us? Could we dare to dream that he could provide divine appointments and Spirit's power for us to have that lovely balance between demonstration of love and the words which are required to share the gospel of Jesus? He is for you. I'd like to close with a blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine towards you and be gracious to you and give you peace. May his favor be upon you. May his presence go before you. He is for you. Thank you.